Hi and welcome to the Unnamed We Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas. I have returned.
I'm back.
And this is the first time in like 4 weeks we're all together again.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do to kill this bastard.
We keep trying.
You tried, but it did not take.
Today, as usual, we're going through what we watched, the few news items we have this week.
Holy crap, what did I watch this week?
We'll be talking.
I know trailers. I did watch a lot.
And we'll be reviewing Kathryn Bigelow's 1987 film, Near Dark.
Woo!
And by we, they mean Douglas and Andrew, because I was a delinquent and did not do my homework.
Exactly. You did not come to borrow the DVD that we had that we could have completely given to you, but no.
I was lazy, the man.
Very.
This week I was asked by a couple people on Twitter about the randomness of the films we review. Mm-hmm. And the truth of it is that when we started out doing what was new at the theater.
Yes.
Until
we realized that there's no such thing as a new movie at the theater, as evidenced by...
No,
do you know what movie came out this week?
Land
do you know
Lost.
What movie
Land
came out this week?
Land
of the Bloody Lost. Listen, you know what I want to do? I want to go and buy the DVD.
And walk in.
And take a picture with the DVD, with me smiling in front of the poster that says no playing.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we decided that wasn't going to work.
Nice.
Then I started moving on into what new came out on DVD, and we were going with that for a little while.
So we decided to rotate who gets to pick what movie we watch every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And everybody tends to have a different
Correct.
Kind of film they want to suggest.
At first, you were being very petty.
I tend to pick
forcing
newer
people
films.
To watch movies we told them to watch years ago. Then we decided, let's try and watch good movies, or what we thought were good movies. I am now of the mindset that I will watch the movie first and determine its quality. Because many a mistake have been made. Yes. My most recent mistake was Sleep Dealer. Which is god awful. I mean, we tried to be nice in that movie, but that movie is terrible.
I actually pick films that I've never seen and I want to see.
Right.
So I go in blind. So whenever you hear us watch, and I tend to pick newer films, so whenever you hear us reviewing a newer film, it's probably my pick. And then whenever you hear Damian Bickle, it's probably because I never watched the movie before and I just want to review. I believe that as long as you make the content.
And I am of the view that there are thousands of classics out there that a lot of people know and recommend. And we should watch those if we plan to be proper critics. And Douglas made us watch Absurdistan, and we'll hate him for it forever.
And Near Dark.
I'm not sure about Near Dark.
So I just wanted to put it out there as a slight explanation as to why it might look very random to someone, as
yes,
to why all of these films we review are like this.
Are random.
Why it looks that all these films we review are so randomly picked.
Because they are.
So, I'm sorry, but I hope you enjoy.
Don't apologize.
I mean, there's so many of these podcasts. Doing new releases is a waste of time because everyone else does.
And on top of it, as we mentioned, we're not getting new releases.
Right. And new to DVD is just delayed new releases. So, might as well pick some films out there that many people wouldn't have gotten a chance to see, because even a lot of the movies that people consider classics, there's a lot of people who have never seen them. And I want to catch up on some of those classics. So I'll be choosing, like, when I get the chance, I'll choose classics when I think there's one worthy. And hope that we never run in another conversation type situation. That movie, it's rough.
It really is. And I'm of a completely different view. I don't want to do new movies. I don't want to
do
classics.
You want
I
to
want
do
to do
weird.
The unknown films that
weird
should be made
movies.
Should be considered classics.
Yeah.
However, I haven't been doing that lately. Generally, I'm
and
just like, I haven't watched that movie. Let me just pick
that
one.
Good job, while you're
so
but
yeah.
That, ZZ and the Train, or what the hell is
this?
So yeah, I just wanted to throw that explanation out there for everyone else. So, as I said, enjoy.
Anyway, on to what we were watching. Andrew, what did you watch this week?
Oh, this week. Start things off, I've completed all 3 seasons of Veronica Mars. And I really feel like, I know the show is cancelled, but I really feel like there was more to tell. And I also,
well, it was clear that yeah. they got cancelled as opposed to this is the last episode.
No, but
there were some strings that they were
No, but I mean, it didn't even feel like a season finale. It felt like they had cancelled it before the season ended. Like, there was 1 or 2 episodes left.
That's true. It could easily have been that as well.
Which kind of made me sad. I also looked, which it turns out wasn't true, because I looked online and I found an unaired short version of what would have been the season 4 premiere. Of Veronica Mars on YouTube with her at the FBI, which I guess means they like skipped ahead 3 years or something, or she dropped out of college, one of the two. And it looked like it would have been continued to be fun as the show is. I found a reason to properly like Kristen Bell if forgetting Sarah Marshall wasn't enough. Because Couples Retreat, which I also watched this week, was really, 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 really bad. It was
saying it's bad.
Yes, I'm saying it's bad. The movie was just filled like it. When you watch a trailer, you see them together, you see all the relationships and how they stand, and then they go to this island, and then yeah. So how this movie is, you see them in the relationships and you see stuff, and the funniest part of the film was the first 5 to 10 minutes before they went to the island. When they pitch the island to all the other couples, they say, quote, it's like Disneyland for adults. And I believe that coming through this movie, going to that island, I want to remain a child and go to the real Disneyland. Because that was not fun.
You don't need to be a child to go to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland like a year ago, man. That place is awesome.
Because you still need to be a child to go to Disneyland. Age limits,
Plus one to Damien. And he kicks off the scoring for the evening.
We're doing the point system tonight. Okay, all right.
Today I started watching 30 Rock. Douglas has heard me for a long time bicker and complain about how I hate this show, because I caught it when it just started, and I guess I blindly hated it because I hate Tracy Morgan.
Don't you tire of being wrong? No.
And like, as I said, I started today. I have gone through 10 episodes already. This show is amazing, and it's for the fact that the certain characters are Tina Fey is awesome, Alec Baldwin is awesome, as you can expect. There is Nathan the
Kenneth
Brian, Kenneth
Kenneth
sorry. Why did
Kenneth
I think
Wright.
Nathan Kenneth
Tracy Morgan is also awesome,
and Tracy Morgan is awesome, but for a different reason. He's awesome because they mock the fact that he's
so
a horrible
ridiculous
TV comedian.
Sorry.
Tina Fey knows exactly what to do with him. She's like, Tracy Morgan, you make no sense. I know what I'll do. That's exactly what she said when she started writing the show.
And he went along with it, and it's just brilliant.
Name me one show, TV, movie, other than 30 Rock, in which Tracy or Morgan is awesome.
I've seen
some stand-up.
What?
SNL, possibly. People liked him on that. I didn't, but
I've seen some of his stand-up. There's 2 specials I think I saw that I liked. There was one that I really didn't like, though. But he's a legitimate comedian. And just like most comedians, the transition into acting is usually not that great.
Yeah. I mean, he has had a failed show, but who hasn't? You know, and at the same time, I don't know if maybe that's how he actually talks. Is it? Is that how he talks?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think a couple of the inflections might be characterized for the show, but it sounds just like that.
His performance is just like that. Just as spacey, just absolute madness.
But, you know, we'll see what he does. Maybe he can do something better after this.
He needs to stick to 30 Rock.
But, yeah. Stick with it for at least 5, 6, maybe the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I also saw Toy Story in 3D, and Oh, I love this movie. I mean...
Delete?
This movie is amazing, and it brought up a lot of ideas that I had thinking about. First of all, I didn't think I'd be able to see this film in 3D, because they were doing the double feature in the States. We didn't get the double feature, but we got to see the first movie in 3D.
The single feature.
And it was well worth it, as far as I was concerned. Not only is the story and everything looking as amazing as it was before that you remember, but I think the 3D is really great. And I know Douglas disagrees with me to some extent, but I love how they're going with this 3D. I think, like, it definitely doesn't always jump out at you, but it adds a layer of depth. And it's something that sometimes is subtle. Most of the time, actually, it's very subtle, and I really enjoy it. In films, they've always been trying to create this depth as you go along. And, I mean, the filmmakers have only had the option of focusing on one aspect and having something in the distance that you can't quite make out. And the Wachowskis tried to do something slightly different, like a cartoon where everything is in focus when they did Speed Racer. But now with this 3D, you can have everything in focus and at the same time make it very clear as to which layer is above another. And I think that's something that's really special, and I want more. And I actually can't wait to see if they'll actually be doing this with other films, other Pixar or Disney movies or older movies that you've seen before that could help with the 3D element added on. It's something I truly enjoy. Douglas is giving me the rock look. I do smell what you're cooking.
It smells good, though.
Wow.
No. And yeah, that's all I really saw this week, I think.
So, Douglas?
Me? Okay. Well, first things first, I went to the movies. I was dragged to the movies.
As usual.
And I saw a Toy Story in 3D, but I can't say that anymore now, can I?
You can. You can say what you thought. You can say what you thought.
No, to tell you the truth, I didn't think the 3D added any much. I love the movie, but that's because it was an awesome movie, not because the 3D was, you know, any fun. I'm still not convinced, Andrew. It doesn't add anything. Right? Anyway,
I watched Old Boy this week.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Welcome, sir.
I feel welcomed into the family. This movie was great.
It's about time. So you're happy for the remake now?
And of course I am. Come on, Will Smith. How can it go wrong?
It's times like this, I wish we had a video, like a true video podcast. The second I said remake, all the joy from Douglas' face.
But you know what's the best part, right? Douglas took my Blu-ray and he took it downstairs to watch. And as he was putting it in, I was like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch 10 minutes with him while I'm eating my food. And I sat and I watched the whole movie.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And the weirdest part is I could not tell if Douglas liked or hated this movie while he was watching it, because he was like basically in complete silence.
I was in awe.
In awe.
Because, I mean, the hammer scene came around, and Douglas was just like...
Dumbfounded by genius.
Genius. The final twist came, and I challenged him, because Douglas always has this thing when he's watching films. I think we've mentioned this before, I'm stupid and can't tell what's going to happen in movies. Yes. Douglas likes to make fun of me, but when we sit down to watch movies,
because sometimes
he sits down and he goes,
very straightforward,
that's going to happen. And it happens, and he laughs at me as it happens.
Because
but I challenged him.
He'd been watching movies for a while.
He could not figure it out.
No one except that director would have seen that film. Because he's a crazy person, and that movie's awesome.
But I still haven't watched Mr. Vengeance.
It is significantly less awesome, but it is still very good.
Okay.
There's nothing quite like the final act in Lady Vengeance, in Mr. Vengeance. So there's not that, well, for me, feel good moment.
A feel good moment.
Yes.
Damien sits there and smiles and says, I do that.
I would do that. I agree with all of the logic that is taking place here. 100%. And the overall story and the acting is a bit too quirky in the first two, in like the first hour of Mr. Vengeance. It's not really as compelling. You watch it because you know that Lady Vengeance was awesome, so you're watching it in good faith, and it kind of rewards you because it's not bad. It is about a 7.7. It's about a 7.5-8. So it's not at all a bad movie, but Lady Vengeance is just a high mark. It's kind of unfair to think that he would have been able to hit, because he'd have to come up with some scenario that's worse, and a main character that is as interesting, and that couldn't have been easy to do.
Well, Thirst looks like it could possibly make up for that. Another vampire movie. Goddamn vampires, you've taken over the world.
I blame Suki.
Let's talk about something that you haven't talked about. I watched Law Abiding Citizen this week as well. And it wasn't that bad. It was actually kind of entertaining. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but entertaining.
I don't think anyone would.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx didn't do badly.
Because they knew what they were going for and they went down that road.
Exactly. You're quite right.
Right.
I saw an article in the local paper the other day talking about it, actually written by somebody that I used to know. And it was really funny how
awful... Is it Kieran
King? Yes, Kieran.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny how awful he thought it was. He used a few choice words. I think vomit might have been in there.
I cancel.
Yeah. It was...
I'll put a link to that review. I know where it is online.
Oh, it's online though?
Yeah, he has his own site where he posts them as well.
Ah, I see. Okay. Good for him. The movie wasn't that bad, Kieran. Sorry.
I really like that movie. I mean, I know it's nothing special, but it was just fun. It was a B movie with a bigger budget.
It's okay to like. What do you like?
I know, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Except also, in your case, because you're wrong.
Yeah, generally. I mean, all I have to say to him nowadays to get him to shut up is Disturbia.
Doesn't work.
Rare Window.
Not as good.
Going to hell.
Let's skip over that one. Yes. We've spoken about that.
Yeah, we have. So I've been watching Fringe as well. I've seen so far, I think, the first four episodes.
Is it good?
It's decent. I'm enjoying it so far. But it's odd. I actually... So the first episode, it's very sci-fi, very like, ooh, you know, the whole Fringe science thing, telekinesis and all sorts of rubbish. That stuff didn't faze me, but where it got unbelievable to me, because, you know, you kind of take the concept that they're giving you and say, all right, this is the world that we're living in, so fine, I'll deal with that. But there's this FBI agent, the lady that is the... Essentially, she's the lead actress in the show, or at least so far she is. And she doesn't strike me, or she isn't portrayed as this really influential person or really high up in the food chain. But when she wants something, she texts the phone, and all of a sudden it happens. You know, there's one point where she somehow is able to just make a phone call, and within, say, I don't know, 10 minutes... A dying FBI agent is transferred from an intensive care unit in a hospital to a basement in the Harvard University. Just because she made a phone call. Don't ask me how this mid-level FBI agent can actually get all of these
There's
things.
A word that sums up what she is. She's gangster.
But putting that aside, actually... I kind of like the show.
All right.
It's okay.
My problem with your wording is that this is the same wording you gave me to pitch Dollhouse. You use words like interesting and not bad. I'd like it so far. No. I don't want to hear that.
Whatever, dude.
I don't trust you.
You don't trust me? And I don't trust you.
Dollhouse is awesome.
Terrible opening song and a terrible actress.
Anything else you saw this week, Douglas, worth mentioning?
Worth mentioning, yes. There is one very good movie worth mentioning that I saw. Very.
Is it the one that we're going to talk about today?
On the theme.
Uh-huh. Have you seen it as well?
That movie's awesome. This.
Why don't you tell those people like myself who can't read your iPhone what movie you guys are talking about?
The movie that we are talking about is Antichrist.
Yes, yes, it is. Lars von Sires.
Lars von Trier.
Lars von Trier.
So what do you think of it?
Awesome.
The cinematography was fantastic, but you don't expect anything from the guy that did the cinematography for Slumdog Millionaire. Come on, right? The movie itself was really, I really liked it. It was really cool. But I was a little bit disappointed in the sense that, not that I was disappointed with the movie, but disappointed in the fact that I saw all of these write-ups for the movie and they were like, oh, it's so dark. Mm-hmm. It's going to knock your socks off. It's, you know, you'll come out of that movie and be like, oh my goodness, what? This was the darkest movie ever. I watch it and I'm like, okay, it's kind of dark, but it's not that bad. It's not that creepy. It's
you have to remember that Americans are really big into Jesus. And anything that strays even a little bit, the usual. Because I've seen some write-ups for even movies like Dogma, and they use the same kind of wording.
That's true. That's so true.
And you just can't.
You know what is awesome about Dogma, and when it was coming out, and everyone's write up about how it's horrible and everything. There's this video on YouTube of a news station, local Boston news station, going down to the cinema.
Where Kevin Smith was picketing his own movie. Yeah,
a bunch of people are picketing the film, and Kevin Smith was in the crowd, and the woman came up to him and was like, you kind of look like Kevin Smith, you know. He's like, no, I'm not Kevin Smith. I think this movie is like hate film and people should be watching this. It's just plain hilarious to watch sitting there knowing this is Kevin Smith making fun of these people.
We saw the trailer and immediately I went, I'm going to have to watch this movie.
Yes.
And I saw the movie and the name of the movie is Antichrist. You have a good idea of what's going to happen. But it's not, like, they don't.
It doesn't play it the way that you think it does, yeah.
It doesn't take it, you know, like, to hell and back.
Exactly, there's no, like, devil sacrifices.
There's Satan over here. Jesus on that side.
And there's no, usually with Antichrist, there's either sacrifices to the devil, or freaky little child. One of the two.
Someone has to have some baby.
Yeah.
That's his spawn, Antichrist. I mean, like, anything I say is pretty much a spoiler.
That's so true. But like, we can at least tell them what they, so you can know that this movie is about two people that lose a child due to a bit of negligence, and they go to, like, a cabin in the woods to work it out, and then she gets crazy.
Yes.
Right? That's essentially the movie. And it's actually, it reminded me a little bit of your favorite movie, Donnie Darko, in the fact that there were all these chapters, and they had, you know, each chapter had a title and it somehow tied back into what was going on, and they had funky designs for the chapter titles and things.
And this movie was released this year, right?
Yes.
Because I know it got limited release. If William Dafoe does not get an Oscar nod for this movie, you guys can go.
You know what scene?
Go to hell.
You know what scene I love him in?
Yeah.
The scene I love him in, and I know it's so minor. I don't know why, but the scene where he's following the hearse in at the funeral.
Yeah.
His face when he's crying. It's just
the direction in this movie. Really the good. Music. I mean, it's just well executed. There's nothing in this movie that is so outlandish that you're going to go, oh, I've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about executing on an idea really well. And they did it very, very well in this movie.
Yes. And I was very happy that I didn't know this until I watched the movie for the first, like, 5 minutes. And I was like, hang on, I know this girl. The lady that plays the wife is actually in one of my favorite movies ever. She is in Michel Gondry's Science of Sleep,
okay,
as she plays the girlfriend, or something like
that. I still need to get her into watching a movie.
It's a fun movie, but
you have to watch a movie.
Okay, here's the deal, right?
Gunn generally, is a crazy person.
Exactly.
And
generally,
so
I would
always
say that,
put off his movies until, like, I will myself to go and watch his movie. Because he's crazy.
Alright, we're reviewing Science of Sleep next week.
And
has to watch it.
Science of Sleep is one of the crazier ones.
I think it's his best movie.
I saw the trailer. Pretty sure it's...
Have you seen Human Nature yet?
No.
So you can't say best movie yet.
I'm sure it doesn't beat
it.
Not
to him. I just think it's rare.
Human Nature is awesome. But again, I actually wouldn't say... I don't know if I'd say that's his best. I don't know. I'll give you a quote that George Wendt, the man from Chairs, said. Asking me to pick my favorite Gondry movie is like asking me to pick my favorite child.
But you don't have children.
Just to let you know, every parent has a favorite child, they just don't admit it.
Hey, you don't want to tell it to the other kids.
No, but that's why you know which one it is, but you can never admit it because you know you're gonna get
But these
it
are
deep
movies.
Shit.
Fair enough.
Anyways, it sounds like Douglas is more or less out.
I'm pretty much done there on the what I watched list.
Damien?
So I've watched all bad movies.
Awesome.
I didn't watch anything that is critically a good movie. But most of these movies I love because I still have them around. I saw How High and
Red Man and Method Man.
Let me be clear.
There?
Yes. Yeah. This movie is just the mere fact that a studio head looked at these two idiots and said, "We want you to star in a movie." And then the writers had to go, "All right, I'm writing a movie for Red Man and Method Man. We're going all out for this one." It's like, we smoked weed and got into Harvard. Like, the movie makes... The movie is not a good movie, technically. In fact, in many ways, it is not a good movie. But I just love how absurd it is. Just seeing them in a movie. Cause, I mean, a movie like that couldn't be made, no. No one would agree to that. A movie like this.
And let's not forget that it has the great acting abilities of one Lark Voorhees, probably best known for her role as, I can't even remember her name, but she was in Saved by the Bell.
Yes. Alright, so her movie is bad, but I still love it. Can't help myself, I don't know, something wrong with me. I also saw the Final Fantasy movie.
The FF7 Advent Children.
Right, they put out a Blu-ray recently with some extra scenes and other madness. And instead of buying good movies, like The Godfather, I took my hard-earned $11. It was on sale. And purchased Final Fantasy. And yeah, pretty much I still love that movie. It is still really bad. Again, like, if you guys aren't fans of Final Fantasy, don't even bother. You need not apply, because I am a fan and I was lost. You just watch it for the pretty fights. That's it.
I always love the Tifa fight scene.
And it's in English now, and they kind of change up some of the things, so you kind of sort of understand more, but the story is nonsensical, so never mind that. And I saw American Pies 1, 2, and American Wedding. And Stifler is the reason to watch.
Yeah, he really is.
He is absolutely the reason to watch. He's just so good. And he's kind of played that character in some other movies afterwards, and they didn't come off as well. I don't know what it is about these movies that makes him seem so much better. I don't know if it's the high school setting, but those movies, they don't hold up, I must say. But I still love them. I don't know, they're a special place. After watching those, I saw Fired Up. I think it came out last year.
Oh yeah, that one.
That was this year. Or
was it this year? It was recently.
Yeah,
January, it might be this year.
Right.
No, it's on DVD. It should be.
Yeah, it's 2009.
2009.
February.
And this movie is also very trashy. I don't know, I just I don't know how I started down this road of watching trashy. Because I have good movies that I care about.
It's because we started the horror stuff last week. And
that's mean. And
so that's why you didn't watch a movie. Just because it has vampires in it doesn't mean it's a horror movie.
Fair enough. And what was the last? Right, the last thing that I'll talk about is Lie to Me. I finally finished the first season. And I've started watching the second season, which is going on now. Probably won't be watching any more episodes of the second season. I'm going to wait until the season's over and then watch it on my time and my terms. But Lie to Me is awesome. Unlike a certain other show that I was conned into watching by a certain Andrew Robinson. Let me tell you the ways where Lie to Me is better than your show. And by his show, I'm talking Dollhouse. And this applies to you, to Douglas. The lead character, Tim Roth, is better than... Can you finish the statement? Who is the lead character in Dollhouse? Eliza
Dushku.
Right. And she is to Tim Roth what good is to not good. Alright. And while in Dollhouse, all the supporting characters are pretty good, all the supporting characters in Lie to Me are excellent. And they all fit their roles, and there's absolutely no confusion. And there's character development, and they make sure that they tell one story every episode, and there's no goddamn scene. And they didn't need a special 13th episode to trick you into watching the second, the other season. Like, oh, they could make it awesome after all. And then you guys started watching the second season. I went, no. It's the same old Dollhouse. Don't you guys feel they're? It's called a bait and switch. Rope or dope.
Question is wrong. Right, I haven't watched Lie to Me, and I've been wanting to start watching it.
Yes.
But there's one thing. There's one thing that kind of catches me about the premise and the idea that seems kind of odd to me. And you can tell me if I'm wrong in being worrisome.
Right.
The whole idea is that there's this one FBI or whatever dude who knows how to read people to tell when they're lying better than a lie detector or anything.
Right.
And it, you know, in these shows, it comes down to like ridiculously minor things, right? It's never for the main interrogation scene of the film. It's never something as simple as, oh, he had mustard on his lapel, which meant this. It's always something really minor, like a twitch in the eye or something, right? So, and then here comes the thing, right? Here comes the worry, right? These are actors playing these roles. So they are acting as people who are lying and giving off ridiculously minor hints.
Right. So when I started watching it, I had your fear. I'm like, all right, so let me get this straight. He's going to read people telling lies, but these people are trained actors who are going to beat it. Like, I was worried that it wasn't going to work, right? That there'd come a point where, you know, it was all going to fall apart. But what they've done is that it's not just one guy. There's a team of people. And he's not an FBI agent. He's just he's a scientist, right?
Whatever.
No, I'm not. And he owns a company, and that's what they do. They're researching the science of people.
Mm-hmm.
Facial and gestures and things to tell you whether or not they're lying. And the acting is so good in the show that you literally believe that these people believe what it is that they're saying. See, there's never a situation where you're going, the person is overacting to give off those signals, and it never comes down to just one little thing. It's never, oh, he wiggled his nose at the wrong time, so clearly he's been lying about all of this. And they just all of a sudden find their way to the truth. No, because it's an hour-long show, so they work through, you know, a lot of different suspects and a lot of different angles, and then because they gather evidence. It's not just, oh, he's lying, and because I am the leading expert and I say you're lying, that's it. Right? No. And I mean, the story, the writing is great, The acting, as I says, is great. Tim Roth is doing a stellar job on this show. It's a good show. It's not phenomenal. There's nothing to elevate it to like Dexter level. It's really, really good.
Speaking of Dexter, have you been watching this season?
No.
Mm-mm. I thought that. Why? Come on.
No, I refuse.
It's called a DVR. You can...
He's utilizing his DVR exactly. In a special manner.
Right? I'm going to collect all of them. And then when I am ready, on my time, I'll watch 12 in a row. And not have... Waiting sucks. And, like, when you miss one episode... Then you start saying, oh, I should watch that episode. But the second you miss two, then it gets easy. You just say, I'll just wait until it's over.
Yeah, but you don't miss them. You DVR them.
No, once you don't watch it, watch the one that come out this week. And you go, yeah, I should go back and watch that before the next one comes out. So I can watch that when it comes out. And then once the time span has gone on two and you know that they're past that point, you don't feel the sense of urgency to be up to date. You just wait it out. And that's what I'm even doing with 30 Rock. I'm doing all of my shows this season. I'm not going to fall into the trap of this week to week. There's other series that I can watch. See, I watch Lie to Me, and Lie to Me is awesome.
You, sir, are crazy.
Yep. Crazy
but
like
you know
a
what
fox.
He is? He's an American.
The hell are you guys talking about?
You see, if you watched your shows, you'd know what we were talking
he's
about.
He's not only wrong, but he's sticking to his guns. That, my friend, is what it takes to be an American.
I'll get this. I'll get this joke in like January.
I'll help you out.
No.
It's legendary.
Okay, Barney Stinson. Someone was explaining to me the sexless innkeeper. Like, then we need to watch on. No, stop it. Leave me alone.
You see, this is how I'll get him to stop this whole.
No, I won't.
Keep spoiling it.
After the sexless innkeeper was explained to me, I thought about it. And so now, I'm better than this. First, I need to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm not
that
big.
That's such a good show.
Stop.
What?
Stop right there.
How much have you watched?
I've seen like 4 episodes.
Of the first season?
Yeah.
And you're still not hooked yet?
I'm still...
What?
Like, comedy is very peculiar, right? Not everyone thinks that the same things are funny.
You're very peculiar, motherfucker.
Fair enough.
As we've said, he's very American.
And it hasn't... Like, there's things that are funny, but I haven't... Like, the entire... There's not one entire episode that was just start to finish. It was funny all the way through. And I don't know. But I'll keep watching it, though. It is interesting. I'll be watching this and 2.5 Men, which is
that's
surprisingly.
A really decent, yeah.
I believe it. I'm like, Charlie Sheen is in this. This can't be any good.
And the funny thing about that show
it, I'm
is...
Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't see why they're paying him $1 million episode.
Every time I see it on TV, I love it, but I never actually watch it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
And my friend who barely watches TV, Joel, mm-hmm. was like, you need to watch this. I'm like, seriously, Charlie Sheen, I don't know. And he's like, I'm like, Hot Shots is probably the last good thing Charlie Sheen's been doing. And he's like, no, just watch it. And it's...
So if they can get you into watching 2.5 Men, what do I have to do to get you to watch Buffy?
Andrew.
You're going to need breast and a vagina. That's what you're going to need. And even then...
there are a number of characters in the show with it.
Yeah, no. It's quite alright. What have any of those characters achieved since leaving that show? Nothing. Never to be seen or heard from again.
What are you talking about?
Who?
Willow is Allison Hannigan, who is in...
What's the main chick name? What's
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
She was in Cruel Intentions.
The last
Scooby-Doo. Yes.
And apparently Andrew claims, I still don't believe him, that she was in Dr. Horrible.
She was in, I don't count that because, I mean, she was in it for like half a second. It doesn't count.
Right. So I've been watching shitty movies. I'll rectify this next week. Never mind.
I promise.
I'll watch only good movies.
Exactly.
Or at least I'll talk about only good movies.
And so I guess now we can just move into news. There are tons of stuff that Douglas emailed me, and I haven't read them, but I'm going to announce them.
Wow! Okay.
And we're going to see what we can make of them with the little knowledge that we have.
Okay,
impromptu. This. This worked all well
Douglas
the last time.
Snapshots of the news.
Apparently, Christian Bale was inspired for his role in American Psycho by Tom Cruise.
Have you watched American Psycho, by the way?
No, I've never seen it. Of course.
Okay. So, right. Everyone has seen American Psycho. First of all, I love that movie.
It's good movie, yeah.
Such a novel.
I know Damon likes it because it's Christian Bale.
Yes.
I know Douglas likes it because he's in love with Christian
Empire
Bale.
In the Sun.
He dreams about him.
That is in it. Have you seen Empire in the Sun?
Yeah, I've seen
the Christian Bale when he was like 3 years old.
Like five
and he was awesome then.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know who else is in that
changed.
Movie? A Japanese dude?
Ben Stiller.
Really?
Yeah. Where? He wasn't extremely big at the time, so he didn't he didn't get a big role. Right? But he was, you know, John,
I need to go back and watch it.
John, shit, what's his name? He's such an awesome guy. The last time I stick it in you, Andrew.
I'll go back and watch it.
Oh, KGB, John Malkovich.
John Malkovich. Mm-hmm. He was in that movie. You remember,
no, I know
right?
John Malkovich.
Okay. He had his group of people that were planning to get out.
Right.
Ben Stiller was a part of that group.
Oh.
And he had like a couple lines.
Right. I'll go back and watch. I love that movie. So.
So yeah, I mean, can you see the Tom Cruise in Bateman?
I can totally see it. Tom Cruise is a crazy ass motherfucker, especially after another article I sent. Well, no, I didn't send it to you. I talked to you about it, about Bronson Pinchot. Was interviewed by the AV Club. I think that's the name of the website. Please don't, you know, shoot me if I get it wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
And he talks about how Tom Cruise really was just a big cock when he was in Risky Business with him. And so the two...
Shocking.
No, I don't find it shocking, but I think that the two kind of meld to give a real... character, a caricature, if you please, of Mr. Cruise as a crazy ass Scientologist. And that, you know, yes.
I'm looking at this article about Bronson Pinchot on AV.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know, I just said it. Okay. And hoped I was right. And it says here, quote, Tom had picked up this knack of calling everyone by their character names because that would probably make your performance better. And I don't agree with that. I think acting is acting, and the rest of the time you should be you. But he called us all by our characters' names. He was tense and made constant, unrelated homophobic comments like, you want some ice cream in case there are no gay people there? I mean, his lingo was larded by, larded with the most. There was no basis for it, and it was like, it's a nice day, I'm glad there are no gay people standing here. Very, very strange, end quote.
So Tom Cruise is Jamaican?
Apparently he's got some Jamaican blood in him. I don't know. But no, I really like this guy. You know who he is, right? Bronson Pinchot or Pinchot or however you pronounce his name?
No.
Okay. You've seen all three Beverly Hill Cops, right?
Yes, I have. I think I have.
Okay.
I believe I have.
It's probably his most famous role, and he has 5 minutes in both the first and the third movie as the crazy, really emotive, very gay salesman.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He's an art salesman in the first one, and he's a gun salesman in the third one.
I know.
I'm going to be honest with you, I have no recollection.
And he has this really weird accent.
No recollection.
No? Okay, well, then that caused him to then get a show that I know him for called Perfect Stranger, where his name was Balki, and he was essentially the same person, except he was an immigrant who worked with that guy in the picture that you're looking at.
No, don't know this one.
Okay, well then, I don't know what else to tell you. Those are his two biggest, you know, claims to fame. Other than a few... He was not cameos. He has, you know, he's an actor in his own right. He has a few leading roles. A lot of, like, 80s and 90s films I've seen him in, but those are his really two big things.
The Young and the Restless.
Yep, apparently he was in that. And he didn't even remember he was in that, which is how awesome that guy is. He's like, oh, I was in that show? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Looking at this picture of him, he kind of reminds me of Vinnie Van Lo from...
Oh, no.
Like, put on the mustache. Whatever, moving on. So yeah, Tom Cruise, turns out he's a crazy dude who wants to kill people with chainsaws and all sorts of stuff.
Well, no, he doesn't want to kill people. He wants to kill gay people. Get it right, okay? As long as you have your ice cream in your hand, you're okay. Because apparently, if you have ice cream, it wards away homosexuals.
Everyone knows that.
Jeez, come on.
Another news item Douglas has sent me is that Chris Pine might be the next Jack Ryan.
Yay!
No, actually, I've never seen this Jack Ryan thing, so I don't know what to say about this.
You have. You know why? Because you have seen Hunt for the Red October.
Yes.
That's Jack Ryan. That's Alec Baldwin is Jack Ryan in that movie.
Not much recollection of that film, to tell you the truth.
You have seen, I'm sure...
The Ben Affleck one.
Oh yeah, you did see that, but I didn't even want to bring that one up. Why? The Sum of All Fears.
Another one which has been blocked out from memory.
It's good to block that one out. That was horrible. But Harrison Ford was in about three of them. One was Games. Reindeer Games?
No, that's Patriot Games.
Patriot Games, yeah. Patriot Games was one. Another one was in Clair and Present Danger.
Haven't seen it.
Really?
I'm sure you've seen it. It's just the names, you know. He's an analyst, is what he is. And he works for the CIA, but exactly. In each of these movies, he's an analyst who knows all of these things, but then all of a sudden, because he has all of this knowledge, he becomes a field agent.
He's American James Bond. That's basically what he works on.
Except James Bond started out awesome and continued awesome.
Harrison Brosnan.
No, I mean as a person. Like, the films were crap, but character was supposed to be this awesome, kick-ass dude.
The problem I have with this is we have Jason Bourne,
right?
And there's supposed to be a four eventually.
I'm sorry. Jack Ryan. It doesn't. For 2009, the only thing that you could do, you know, to make this appealing to anybody is to make him gritty.
Yeah,
and if you're going down that road, there's already someone that's way out in front. Wait, Matt Damon is straight killing it.
That he is.
There's no reason to go down that road. And if you're going to try and make him more suave and sophisticated, again, there's another dude that's way down. They've redone James Bond, the new Daniel Craig. Mm-hmm. He's a more gritty, realistic, you know, suave. You know, he's getting used to all of his James Bondisms. I don't know.
I have to say, though, I really would like to see Chris Pine in something other than Star Trek.
I
haven't seen that movie. I want to see him in more movies.
I just don't think that Jack Ryan really... I mean, although there's always room for copycats. If they make it well enough, I guess it can be good.
Of course.
Just make him a ninja. None of them are ninjas.
A ninja who uses stealth banana peels.
Yeah, he's an analyst, and when after he analyzes, then he goes into ninja mode and smokes fools. I don't know.
He was in Bottle Shock, which was a lame ass movie.
Really? I didn't see that one, though.
It's a really bad movie. He's in Smoking Aces, another bad movie.
Oh, that was...
He's in Blind Dating. Blind Dating is horrific.
The one with Stanley Tucci?
I have no idea. I couldn't even watch all of the movie. That's how bad it is.
Wow.
It's really...
Like, oh, Blind Dating. Yes. Oh, no. God, yeah, awful. I don't know what that is.
And the rest of this
stuff, like American Pie knockoff, but it's bad.
Yeah, well, you know, actors have to get the stats on.
No, yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I was looking to see if I had anything I could point to.
Yeah.
Anyways, another item Douglas sent me. Superhero Stackhouse. On joblo.com. Apparently... Jason Stackhouse from True Blood is going to be doing this. Is it a show or a film? Another superhero comic. It's a film, it seems, which is a superhero romantic comedy.
Oh, they did that already and it didn't work out well. Uma Thurman, that movie.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
So the director is saying,
super
ex-girlfriend.
No Wilson in that movie.
Yes, and a shark and a car.
Oh.
And
Eddie Izzard was in that movie. Terrible. I was so upset. I love the man to death, but Eddie, why?
He's been in that
super ex-girlfriend, no. We killed that enough last week.
So, he's
what, you talked about super ex-girlfriend last week? So, I need to catch up. What the hell? What was the conversation? Jeez.
We're talking about the director and his recent forays into movies. He made Ghostbusters.
Yeah, so Ivan Reitman.
And
Ivan Reitman did my super girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
The Ivan Reitman.
The one who did Stripes.
He...
Wow.
Since 2000... Jason Reitman's father.
Since 2000, he's been stinking up the
joint.
You
never made that connection?
No,
I know you're trying to block it.
You know what I think is funny? I was listening to Smodcast and Kevin Smith was talking about when he went to see Thank You for Smoking.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie too. And when he met Jason Reitman and he came up and he spoke to him and he was like telling him how he loved the movie, and Reitman was like, oh, that's so amazing because you're the guy who inspired me to become a director and do comedy and stuff. And he's like, really? Me? You know who your father is.
You're missing the point. Look over there. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Okay.
Anyways, the director is saying that this film, Stackhouse, whatever it's called, it's an Aussie production, Griff the Invisible.
Griff the Invisible. This sounds awesome already. And sign me up for this one.
Says it's about two very unique individuals finding each other and giving the other the strength to be what they want to be. So that sounds like generic enough.
Oh, so it's Hancock. It's the second half of Hancock.
Well, except instead of getting weaker, they get stronger.
Makes sense.
No, not really.
I thought this was funny only because it was Jason Stackhouse.
Yep.
Therefore, I must.
I'm just glad that he isn't becoming a superhero in.
True Blood.
True Blood. Although they're not far off, people starting to fly. Teleport to the moon. Killing unkillable creatures.
Of course.
Yes. Come on, explain!
Shut up!
Right, so another news item that came out this week apparently. What was this? No, I had it here. There's going to be a sequel for What Women Want. Or there might be. What the hell? Mel Gibson, he's coming back. We saw the trailer for Edge of Darkness. He also has the Beaver film coming out. What if he comes back for What Women Want? Is this him coming back or is this a spin-off? What did you think of the first film?
If he comes back,
really
I'll watch
it.
If he comes back, I'll watch What Women Want too. If it's not him, no.
I really enjoyed it.
Right, I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
It was good.
Good stuff. Whatever happened to Helen Hunt? Was it Helen Hunt? No, it's yeah, that's her name. Right?
I'm about to look it up, who was in that movie.
Helen Hunt. Whatever happened to that lady?
I don't know, I think she went into TV hell actually.
But she's a movie actress.
Okay.
Yes.
Logic.
Yes.
You need to walk me down this. That she's a TV actress, so
no,
she
a movie
could go into TV,
right.
And she can't go into TV hell. I don't understand.
There are lots of actors who go
exactly
into TV hell.
I don't
hell.
Know where Douglas is getting this from.
Like, I mean, most recently,
Tim Roth.
Okay.
Well, Helen Hunt. Yes, it was
Sookie.
Her who was in the film. she last film she did was in 2007. Called Then She Found Me. I don't know
I know, I know why she's disappeared. Oh.
There was Bobby, which I actually liked. That's the one directed by Emilio Estevez. Yeah, I like that movie. Empire Falls, which is supposed to be good, but that was made for TV. Oof. And then a ton of stuff that was really dispersing. But there's one coming out this year, it says 2009 on IMDb, called Every Day. Directed by Richard Levine and has Carla Gugino. Liev Schreiber, Eddie Izzard.
Oh, jeez, Liev Schreiber, I don't like him.
Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
Train wreck, that's not. calling it now. It's going to be a train wreck.
So, yeah, I guess she's there, but she's just not as prominent
she's
as she used to be.
Pick and choose in her roles.
I remember her in Mad About You, and I remember loving that show.
She took time off to have some children.
What the hell is this? Dr. T and the Women?
Could we stop and go back to the news?
Oh, that shitty movie. Oh, yeah, what were we talking about?
A news.
I don't know, something.
We're talking about this thing with this woman.
Ah, could you be more vague, please? Thing with woman.
Oh, What Women Want. We're talking about the sequel for What Women Want. And, I mean, I don't remember enjoying this movie at all when I first saw it.
Because you're a child.
That's because, exactly.
It's very true.
And you didn't understand women, so you didn't get any of the jokes.
And you seem to think that Disturbia is better than Rear Window.
And I think, no, you'll watch it again and you will have the same reaction.
But thinking about people who've gone into hell, like Mel Gibson.
I don't think Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, it was a choice of Mel Gibson.
And it's not the last few years, it's just the last... Well, year or right. whatever it was when he decided to
come out against the Jews.
Yeah. Before that, he actually I wouldn't say that he was having a rough time. Right. He decided to get out of the limelight and direct, and he directed a movie something. Like every couple of years. You know.
And what do you like? His movies are that they made billions of dollars.
And from what I've heard, they're technically very proficient.
Yeah. All right,
you know, I haven't watched any of them, to tell you the
looking
truth.
Looking at acting for Mel Gibson, other than his new films, which are just
going to
come out next year.
So he's going to prove his point by saying that he hasn't acted in anything,
give me a moment, just one moment, and then you can tell me how wrong I am.
Okay.
The last thing he did acting-wise... was Paparazzi.
Love that movie.
Which was in 2004. And he had
HBO
The Singing
film?
Detective, which was 2003.
I don't remember if it was the HBO film. I just remember that.
Guy
messed up some other.
He went into directing, you see. His last film he directed was Apocalypto, which was 2006.
Chileans. Yeah.
3 years. Not many people take that huge a break.
Are you serious?
As directors, of course.
There's some directors
as anything.
There's some directors that have only directed. Look up Terrence Malick, my friend. One of like the I shouldn't say one of the, but a highly respected director. Tell me how many movies this man has made.
Yeah, so director.
A half.
Starting at 1969, all the way up to 2010. He has made 6 films.
Okay, no, shut the fuck up. All right.
You just got owned.
Absolutely. I think I'll just go sit in this corner. You guys continue.
Is this your podcast?
You guys go ahead.
Being slaughtered.
That's the next news item. You guys go ahead.
Come on, Andrew. We need you, Andrew.
You know we can't read, Andrew. Come on.
We don't do much reading.
Ow.
That's what happens when you mess with me, my friend.
I just like hurt myself.
Mess
oh,
with
my
the bulls, you get the horns.
His brains.
Apparently, Angelina Jolie might be doing this new Gucci film with Ridley Scott directing. No, I...
A Ridley Scott Gucci film? I see blow something in this one.
And he's also talking to Leonardo DiCaprio about being in this film.
Alright, I'm in.
Yep.
Sign me up.
And yes, and this movie can't...
Why are you
it's
talking
about, it is about the Gucci family, you know, Gucci and Gabbana and all that stuff.
Zap, zap. What?
Did you just...
What? Did you just say?
No, this podcast is over.
Gucci
for,
and Gabbana.
Someone associates me.
G&G. Or did you mean Dolce and Gabbana?
As
opposed to Gucci, which
Gucci
is just Gucci.
Just Gucci. Wow, you're not helping. Oh.
Did I mention I've had a whiskey today?
Damn, I meant to bring up a beer. That's what I was going to do. Ah, oh, you speak of drinks and I forget.
You can go get the beer and come back.
Gucci and come back.
I'm trying to bring back my morale.
I'm putting that on a shirt. I need to start selling merchandise.
I remind myself every day that I was bored with balls and I have no clue about fashion. Moving on.
Yeah, that's why you don't know Gucci and Gabbana. Yeah, nice try.
Apparently it wants to focus on some murder plot. I mean, I don't know anything about the Gucci family or anything, but do you guys know anything about this?
Ridley Scott, Angelina Jolie, and Leonardo DiCaprio. Yes. So if you were making a show about my life, which is boring as hell, I'd still go watch it. Do you see, Andrew? You've Wikipedia'd Gucci and there's no Gabbana. It's not an accident.
Is it? I thought they were just wrong because I don't trust Wikipedia. Wikipedia is created by the internet.
Andrew.
And the internet
we don't care
wrong.
About whatever murder plot. Even if Ridley Scott is lying, I don't. It's Ridley Scott.
And Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Jolie.
Well, no, I don't. That doesn't hold much water for me, really.
See, here's
you're
the,
saying
here's
that Tomb Raider wasn't.
Here's a synopsis.
Actually, yes.
Oh, my. No, we're not having any more conversation.
Hold on. Wait. Are you serious? Are you going to.
Fuck it.
Are you going to defend the last. That movie?
What movie?
Tomb Raider?
No, I'm. You're saying, weren't you saying that Tomb Raider is good?
Oh, no. Oh. I said it was horrible.
No, I said Tomb Raider was horrible.
Oh, okay. All right, we're back on the same page.
Fair enough.
And I think right there is where we can...
Tomb Raider.
No, not
where,
at
where
all.
We can move into trailers, because...
Yeah. About to kill Douglas. misunderstanding.
The first trailer that hit this week was Almodovar's Broken Embraces.
No sé de qué habéis hablado todos estos días. Pero yo sí sé lo que no os he contado en todos estos años.
Douglas?
Yes?
What do you think about this trailer?
Girl, you're fine.
Thank you.
Lay down fine.
Ditto. Essentially, this trailer doesn't do much. It shows you a couple pictures of Penelope Cruz.
Being very delicious.
Then it tells you it's done by Pedro Almodovar, then more Penelope. And then that's it.
And that's all I need.
That's all we need. Exactly. To tell you the truth, I've seen a couple Almodovar films. I know I love them. I saw them too long ago to remember them, however. But I know I love them. And he
was in Vicky Cristina.
What?
Vicky Cristina?
Yeah, she was in.
She was
Penelope
in Vicky
Cruz,
Cristina,
but it's not Almodovar.
Almodovar is a director.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about Penelope.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Penelope.
I know your mind is elsewhere. We have Penelope Cruz on the mind. You just blocked out Douglas completely.
Alright, so that alone is a selling point. Also, we've got Penelope Cruz, who is very good to look at. And also, she's not a bad actress. She's very good.
It helps.
I agree.
Exactly.
Megan Fox could learn from this.
I actually don't give Megan Fox that much credit.
Fair enough.
She can learn.
Wow. That's very nice to the Andrew.
Like, I mean, I saw this trailer, and the truth is, I haven't seen any Almodovar films. I have Bull Bear, the DVD, and I've watched the first hour, and I haven't moved any further, but I did love what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Volver?
Bull Bear.
Volver.
It's Spanish.
Is it spelled with a V?
It's Spanish.
I've seen the Volver movie. I don't know Volver.
With Penelope Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah, she's actually in
part
a lot
of the reason
of
why I saw the movie.
I've heard people say that they like her more in Almodovar films than in others. And not just because Almodovar does better movies, but that he gets her to give out better performances.
Yeah, I'm sure they're... Listen, the reason she's in so many is because they have a good relationship, I'm sure. You know?
Sure.
So, that has to help.
I love Penelope Cruz. I loved her in Vicky Cristina. I loved her in Vanilla Sky.
Mm-hmm. Well... No, I hate that movie, so it has nothing to do with her.
How can you hate a movie where they have a line where one lady says, and she shouts this out in the middle of the car. She's like, I swallowed your cum. I love that line, I'm sorry.
No, I prefer the part where she says, I mean...
Do you guys know that there's porn on the internet?
I mean, what I love is the line where she's talking about how, I mean, it's normal for guys to go 3 times, but when you go 4 times in one night, that's love. When we can make sex 4 times in
make
one
sex? Night. Make sex? Make sexy time? Wow, wow, wow.
That's not a rule today. Digging himself deeper and deeper.
I think I'll phone China.
Oh, Lord.
Are we facing China? Am I supposed to eat China? If I were to dig down now, where would I find? Damon, anything else you want to say about this trailer?
Because no, she's very pretty.
I feel like if I talk
I
anymore,
love, and I
trouble.
Like Vol Vera very much. So, all arrows point to need to watch this movie. What is the second trailer, Andrew?
This new film by Wu Ping, the famous kung fu martial arts director who did The Matrix, who did
The Matrix.
He did the martial art directing.
Okay.
In The Matrix.
Oh, so he did
Master.
The Matrix. Okay.
He himself
bastards.
Has directed
him back in office. Great.
A new film called True Legend. This movie looks kick-ass amazing.
Is there talking in this movie?
I don't know, because there was no dialogue in the trailer.
I just want to see people get kicked
exactly.
in the face. I'm sorry.
Like, I just, at the start of the movie, someone should just like bitch slap a princess and like run to another city and then have the king send some other people to kill. And that's it. 90 minutes later, everybody dead. One man stands and...
Looked more like a tournament movie though.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a tournament movie. And the funny part was I was watching closely some of the fights and you could see clearly that there was the drunken style in there. There was someone pulling off the same style that Morpheus did during the kung fu scene in The Matrix. I mean, it looked like when you watch his film, if you know enough of his movies, you will just sit there and go, that's where he's taking that one from. That one... Even though that one dude with the whole hair thing looked kind of funny, like a superhero.
I already love this movie. They can. All I have to do is just make stretch this trailer out
and forget the story.
It's a kung fu. We were talking about this last week. It to make more kung fu movies. Kung fu movies didn't hinge on the story. Some of the stories in kung fu movies are the most nonsensical things in the world, but no one watches kung fu movies for story. Just like no one watches porn for story. You watch it for the action.
In both cases.
Yes.
Wow, so we're all thumbs up to this trailer. Have to watch it. The last trailer we want to talk about is this new film, Endgame, featuring one of our favorite actors.
Chiwetel!
We really should learn his name.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ejiofor is what I say.
No, I think we should stick with you.
My name is Thabo Mbeki, and I am a terrorist.
Audacious mission you've undertaken. We're not interested in a political solution.
Mr. Mbeki, Michael Young, tell me how we can help. I called last week about the meetings I'm trying to set up between those on both sides. And to maintain secrecy, it's best if we hold the talks in the UK.
Fear is the first weapon of the oppressor. It binds us all.
And what is your campaign of terror based on, if not fear?
The culture of fear is not of our making. We learnt it at the feet of our masters.
Apparently it's some dude in South Africa or some shite. I actually have no clue what's going on.
And he is a terrorist.
Damien.
A terrorizing terrorist.
You pointed us out to this trailer. You start this off. I had whiskey. I had more than one whiskey.
Alright. Just see, man. Alright, so I saw this trailer. It looks very interesting. He's playing... He announces at the start of the trailer that he's a terrorist, so there's no spoilers. It's a friggin' trailer. and it looks like they're trying to prevent some kind of civil war. And it seems that England, they're playing the mediator, you know, trying to get these two factions, you know, to see eye to eye or whatever. And it looks like the story is about how Chewie's character, you know, deals with the mediators and somehow either forges or doesn't forge some alliance and prevents a civil war. And the trailer looks really interesting and I really want to see this movie.
Douglas?
And Strong is in it.
Yeah, Mark Strong. He's awesome.
Okay. I remember there was somebody that I wanted to say, and yeah, okay, I no longer have to scroll. Beautiful. So, I saw this trailer just a while ago before the show. I really enjoyed... Well, I shouldn't say I enjoyed it. I don't know what I did. There were pros and there were cons.
Yes.
Pros, there is Chewie.
Chewie and Mark Strong.
There is Mark Strong. Cons.
The director did Vantage Point.
The director did Vantage Point.
Friggin' awful.
And William Hurt. What?
No, huh? I can't defend William Hurt.
Thank you very much.
I like
Stop
William
looking
Hurt.
At me. You like bad acting. I know.
Stop looking at me.
The one thing about William Hurt I have to say is that in this trailer, he actually does an accent. I don't know how well he does it, but he sounds different, which is... unlike him. He usually is the same.
William Hurt. Right? Every single movie.
Yeah. So, maybe he gets A for effort. And I hope he does. And that said, I really hope this movie is good. The trailer seems interesting enough. And the talent behind it, at least on the acting side,
I hope it's
seems that it can
last
off.
King of Scotland type situation. Because I didn't think that movie was going to be any good at all.
Oh, it was good.
James McAvoy and what's the guy's name?
Forest Whitaker.
Forest
yes,
Whitaker.
That movie was
and that
awesome.
Movie's awesome.
It was. I guess I need to watch it.
Yeah, you really should.
Okay.
And you know, if they can pull off something akin to that, I'd be very grateful.
Forest Whitaker is an awesome actor, though.
No, but James McAvoy. At the time, his track record wasn't that stellar.
Yeah.
And I mean, Forest Whitaker, he won an Oscar for a reason. Because that movie and that character that he played, awesome.
I'm sorry, Andrew. That is a lie. Andrew is now looking at a YouTube video with the title William Hurt in the Performance of a Lifetime.
The History of Violence.
He's never done...
I love
done...
that movie and I love that performance.
But he played the same
exactly.
character.
All he did was he played William
obnoxious...
Hurt who headbutts his brother. That's all that he did.
He's
Whoa.
Always this high and mighty obnoxious person.
I loved it when you just see him turn around in a chair and he's like, I was a shoo-in. Until you did that. You had to take out his eye.
And that's exactly what he sounded like. Okay.
And that's how he sounds in every other
Yes.
movie.
And I love him in Hulk.
How can you love him in Hulk? All he does is he plays William Hurt with a cigar in his mouth.
I'm sorry.
I don't have as much issue with William Hurt. He's just one of those character actors that I've seen a lot of movies.
No.
And
you
from
cannot,
time
you
to
know
time.
What? You can't call him a character actor. Character actor implies you can act as more than one character.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Fair enough. He's this actor.
No. Yeah, no.
All
he's
right.
this William Hurt.
He's this William Hurt. That's, William Hurt appears in a lot of other movies.
It's just like Hugh Grant, except I like Hugh Grant.
And
Hugh Grant
he has
cool.
some small roles most of the time, and he's always the bad. He's always on the bad side, alright, and he helps bring the story along. He's not terrible, but whenever you see him, you know what to expect. And sometimes I like knowing what to expect. Alright, Douglas, relax. And leave
if,
William
if
Hurt.
If what
alone.
You're expecting is bad, then.
He's
okay.
not bad.
He's bad.
Eliza Dushku is bad.
Yes, she is.
He is not bad. He just plays. He's just one note.
Just because he's better than Eliza Dushku doesn't make him good.
Then why are you watching Dollhouse?
Shaggy logic does not play a role in my Shaggy. Television watching abilities, sir.
No, I'm sorry. Simple man. We all know where we watch Eliza Dushku in Dollhouse.
Because we think she's gonna strip?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, there's websites I can meet you guys.
She's a bad actress. And the show overall is awesome. Moving on.
I love how your logic just went bad ego. Oh, negative times are negatives are positive. Fair enough.
But Andrew, the second season is not turning out well, just to let you know.
One good episode. So in 13 seasons you'll get a complete series of good episodes.
So moving on.
But 13, that episode was awesome.
No, again.
Stop. It was so good. Douglas, stop.
If they had went in that direction, because they had set it
I
up the first few episodes,
ourselves.
Right? They set it up and you understand exactly what they're doing in the 13th episode. That should have been the season bloody premiere.
Yes.
And then
it would have. She wouldn't have been in there, and there'd be a good series.
Yes. And then you could even have this tiny little girl that did grown-up stuff, and that could have been awesome.
But I'd like to ask you how we got from Endgame to talking about episode 13, season
I'll tell
one
you,
of Dollhouse.
Endgame
William
led
Hurt,
to William Hurt, which
William
led to bad
Hurt.
Acting, which led to Eliza Dushku.
And of course, Eliza Dushku led to episode 13, where she was absent.
Well,
and it was the only great episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys saw 13 mediocre episodes, and then were gifted one good episode, and I'm elevating this one episode into superstardom. Oh, this is phenomenal. Not Dark Blue? No. All right.
I don't
talk to me
no,
when
no,
Dark
no,
Blue.
No.
You've seen
listen,
Dark Blue.
I'm catching up with all these,
I'm sure
these shows that I need to watch. See, I'm watching Fringe.
I'm glad you are.
Yeah. It's got Charlie Conway in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know him. I'm sorry. Forget his real name. Joshua who? No. Charlie Conway.
Wow.
From the Mighty Ducks. Okay.
He's Canadian.
But he doesn't say a boot.
A? Does he say
A? He does punch people a lot, though.
Fair
so
enough.
That makes sense.
And
but he doesn't
Canadians
profess his love
boys.
For hockey.
His money came from Monopoly boards.
And Maple Leafs. Right. Can we move
as
on,
I continue
please?
To reference.
Yes, I know.
And Damian continues to shake his head.
Okay, so listen. Do we have any more trailers to talk about? So I guess we've got a movie to talk
about. I'm waiting until you guys feel you want to move on.
That movie is Near Dark.
Separate your head from your shoulders.
Do it. Bad.
All right.
The time's wrong.
Woo!
No.
Might as well just kill me then, too.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world.
We give him a week, see if we can call him one of us.
He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes a kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night.
It's 3 hours short for a bus to get home. You help me out?
What are you on?
Believe me, I told you.
Just don't think of it as killing.
Evening.
Woo!
Don't think at all. It's just something that you do night after night. It's only ever a question of how.
Nervous? I would be too if I were you. Near Dark.
It'll be your boys falling in the control.
Check out time.
And I guess I'll talk about it first because I was the chooser.
I think I should.
Yeah,
shut up.
No.
Shut up.
First of all, wait, hold on, stop. Before Douglas talks, Damon has not seen this movie.
Yeah.
Do you know anything to say anything? Like,
To read the synopsis.
And what do you think the synopsis, what do you feel about wanting to watch this movie when you read
the synopsis? You really shouldn't base anything off IMDb synopsis.
Yeah, I know, but I want to just kind of get you in a little bit, if you can.
It sounded more towards a horror movie, in a sense. Again, the synopsis is really, it's really bad. I have no idea what the movie's about.
Okay, well,
but I'll watch it. I'm very sorry. I was preoccupied watching shitty movies.
No, don't get, be sorry.
And getting ready for Windows 7 and Ubuntu 9.1.
9.10.
9.10.
It's all about the month that it comes out. It's 09, you know, the year, 10. And then 10 the month, October.
Fair enough.
Okay. So
mind blown.
Exactly.
Anyways, jeez. You were talking about some vampire movie.
Oh, shut up.
Blade Trinity? Is it that bad?
No. This movie is fantastic.
I wouldn't give it that kind of
okay,
he
so Near
said
Dark.
Fantastic, so I need to watch him backpedal.
Shut
set in the time or no.
Near Dark is a movie directed by Catherine Bigelow, your new favorite lady who directed Hurt Locker.
Yes.
It is about a pack of vampires who roam the world. Well, not the world, but they roam around. And essentially what it is, okay, is you've got this main character, this guy, Caleb,
who is played by the same guy who's Nathan Petrelli in Heroes.
Okay.
So he, you know, on a night out, sees this beautiful girl, May, you know, tries to put down some game and gets her in the car and shows her horses and goes around and all sorts of foolishness. Holy crap, it turns out she's a vampire. And so she bites him and he becomes a vampire. And then it looks to everybody that he's been kidnapped because, of course, he can't go back to his family.
Right.
And everything sets into motion after that. You know, he goes off with this coven or pack or whatever you want to call them of vampires. Thrilling, enticing action ensues. There are, of course... Oh, shut up.
There, of course, sounds like the Covenant.
Oh, shut up. There's tensions because, you know, of the new guy in the group. Also, that they kind of play on all of that kind of stuff.
Twilight?
And it's really, really good. No, it is not Twilight. These people do not sparkle in the sunlight, okay?
I still haven't seen that movie.
You really?
I just keep hearing worse and worse shit about it. I think
Twilight has ruined vampires for me because I've realized that every vampire film I watch, whenever the sun is about to come up, I say, he's going to sparkle.
First of all, you're wrong because Let the Right One In will never be ruined by anything.
I watched Twilight after Let the Right One In, so I haven't had the opportunity to laugh at that one.
Okay.
So
awesome. It is.
Anyways, you were saying.
But yeah, no, Near Dark is really, really good. I enjoy every moment of it. I can't believe that this movie is making me say this, but I loved Bill Paxton in this movie. Right? And that is a hard thing to say. No, generally, I don't really like him. He's had a couple good roles. This is one of them. Twister, he was okay. And I'll give him that. Right? But generally, Bill Paxton, not so great.
I'm now looking at Bill Paxton. Must find something.
It's Bill Paxton.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the dude was in Spy Kids.
Yes, he must be good.
And Big Love.
He was in Titanic.
Yeah, for 2 minutes. Okay, so Bill Paxton is crazy and wonderful. And all
he was
that.
In Tombstone.
He was in Tombstone. Oh, that was such a good movie.
Obvious man.
Oh, my goodness. But listen, we need to talk about Near Dark. That's what we're supposed to be talking about. So... Near Dark, there's this scene, the bar scene, and you can't tell me that the bar scene isn't wonderful.
I haven't said anything to you yet, right? But you don't know what I think.
I know exactly what you think. Then again, you probably turn around and be like, yeah, this was awesome, which would be funny. But okay, essentially, I think this movie is great. It has good action scenes. It has a couple...
Nathan Petrelli.
Shut up. It has a couple great, like... vampire scenes in the sense that, oh, look at what we can do. We're strong. We can do all these things. We bite people and we make them bloody. And I like that a lot of the effects in this film, almost 99% of them are more, I don't know how to describe it, but functional. They're more, they're not CG.
Practical effects.
Because it was the 80s.
No, they had, not CG, but they had tricks that they could use that looked really awful in the 80s. And in the end, you actually see one of them because they really couldn't do it without it.
CGI.
But it looks really good. Even now, like some of the scenes where, you know, they slit some guy's neck and that kind of thing, it looks really disgusting and really awesome. And I loved it. I love the vampire part of it, the beating up everybody, the gruesome effect. Everything was just great in this film. And I know that you're going to say that they jumped the shark in the end, but at least let's not talk about it until you've said your piece, and then we can go into the spoiler alert section. But oh wait, we can't talk about it at all because
I'm not worried about. You can talk about spoilers if you want to.
Yay!
I'm going to watch the show tomorrow.
Okay, so you go ahead, Andrew.
So, before I start, I'd like to dedicate this review
to Shannon.
To these are all people on Twitter. Film Jabba, The Marino, from Row3.com, Film Jabba from FilmJabba.com, Massa Worm from Ain't It Cool News. Who else is there who kind of got on me last night?
What's
about
that
this?
Large vacuum in here?
Yes, all of you people, I'm dedicating this to.
This movie was fucking horrible.
Wow.
Alright, no, I'm taking that back. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't a good movie at all.
This is where good goes to die.
One thing that I did appreciate and like about this
Nation Patrol.
Right. First of all, it took me around. I sat there watching this movie for like the first 10 minutes, and I was like, "That looks like Nathan Petrelli."
Nathan Petrelli is the guy that did Pathology, right?
No, that was his brother, Peter Petrelli. That was Ventimiglia.
Fair enough.
Nathan Petrelli is the.
I stopped watching Heroes. So I don't care anymore.
Is the one who flies.
Fair enough. No, I know it's the big chin.
Yeah.
Flying. Answer.
One thing that I did like about this movie is that they tackled it like how you would tackle a post-apocalyptic film. In that there was this group of individuals who had to stay together to stay alive, who became a pack and were moving around the world trying not to be discovered, right?
Oh, and Jesus and the apostles.
And I found that kind of interesting, you know? It was like if you were to watch a zombie film, you would see all the zombies and then this group of five regular people going around, but to think if they were all zombies and it was just the five zombies, they would have to hide from all the regular people. So I thought that was kind of cool as a way to tell the story. And that was nice. But now I can start on why I didn't like this film.
Nathan Petrelli. Vampires.
No, vampires aren't a reason to not like this movie. Vampires are nice. They're quite friendly. They have big teeth.
No, generally they don't because they sparkle.
Really going down this road.
Bill Paxton is not good in this movie.
For some reason, I'm more inclined to believe Andrew. My brain can wrap around Bill Paxton.
He's awesome. Okay, awesome is probably the better word to say.
Here is the one thing, right? The bar scene. You can kind of look at all of these characters as bad, campy, fun characters, and therefore justify bad acting from people like Bill Paxton as to why you would like that scene. And it was kind of fun to see certain things about it. And, yes, my brain just hurt as I was thinking about why I didn't like this movie.
It's going to go.
I totally couldn't get into was, first of all, the child in the group. And as I saw this child in the group who was bickering about how he was probably the oldest of all of the vampires or whatever.
Well, he turned me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so he's older than
and he was complaining about, you know, you...
Does
you,
he fly?
No, none of them fly. You try and be a 5-year-old for the rest of your life, you know? All I could do is jump my memory back to when I was reading Fables and you saw Pinocchio in the comic book. I think it was Pinocchio, who was a little boy, and you know, you saw him going there like, God damn it, when I told her to make me a little boy, I didn't mean forever. I want my fucking balls to drop. And all sorts of stuff like that. And I thought that was kind of funny, but really, the acting in this film is horrendous. I couldn't stand the father who was going after Nathan Petrelli. I couldn't stand any of the vampires in this movie. I mean,
wow.
I kind of could. The best one out of the lot I could kind of keep up with was Nathan Petrelli. I could kind of, because he was the story of like the turned vampire and how he came along to become, to get used to this new life. And guess what? Eventually, as Douglas wanted to mention, but I'm going to mention it, spoiler alert, they jump the shark and they cure vampires.
Alright, I'm going to need to step in. No. Alright, from what I've heard so far,
makes no sense either. It makes absolutely no sense.
I know what makes even more fun. Hold on, stop. Before you step in, what makes it more fun? After they cure vampires and they have this final scene which Douglas is talking about, in which they finally use some form of CG, and they have the final showdown between Nathan Petrelli and the rest of the vampires, it makes absolutely no sense as to why Nathan Petrelli wins.
Because he's lost his vampire abilities, right?
Yeah, by that point.
Alright, so Douglas. Douglas, let me explain. Alright, let me show you how logic works.
It's listen, you cannot bring logic into a world where vampires exist.
I'm talking about how movies structure. I'm not talking about the movie itself, because I haven't seen it. But what I'm hearing is Paxton and Petrelli. Alright. Vampire action movie. Wait. The cure of vampirism.
It's not a major point in the film. It's not a major point in the film. Right? It happens like in the last 5 minutes.
And then Petrelli wins. No, listen to me. I'm not saying you're wrong. Again, I haven't seen this movie. But, and you know, I don't really like agree with Andrew. My brain is really easier to accept Andrew's side of the story. I'm not like what you're saying to me, Douglas.
You know what I love about the curing of vampirism? What it seems to me that they have done, right?
Do you want to give away how they cure it?
At this point, why?
Why not?
Alright, we've announced spoilers.
Exactly. So,
and this movie does it so good.
No, it's awesome. But what's hilarious is that it looks like it's essentially a blood transfusion where they suck out all the blood from the vampire and then put in regular blood. And you see the source of the blood. Damien, you want to know what the source of the blood is from at least when they cured the son? The father. So somehow the father pricks himself and put the blood
of
thing
course.
In and takes his blood out and fills up his son. But hang on, how
the
could
father.
You? Wait, sorry.
What?
Is there enough blood
Douglas.
In the father
Douglas.
To fill up the son?
You said that this movie is amazing.
It is though, it is. It's really good.
No.
But this is like the last 10 to 15 minutes. Alright.
You see, I kind of would have preferred this film if it stuck on the track of them all being vampires, ignored curing bit, and then decided to end off like all other horror apocalyptic films in which everyone dies in the end.
So you're saying that you'd prefer a movie to be generic? That way it's always.
Actually think that if they had started. From what I'm hearing, because again, I haven't seen the movie. It started with the ending, right? And I would set up just how ridiculous this movie is going to be. And then they just kept jumping the shark over and over to the end of the movie. Where people are flying on magic rainbows. This movie sounds bad, though.
It's good! I'm telling you, it's good!
This is a very
it's
high
so tip. Good!
Douglas. I'm not going to lie to you, this is not very hot.
And can I ask, what the hell is with the title, Near Dark? That just sounds so stupid.
Perfect Dark was great, so near... Oh, no.
Perfect Dark, wasn't that a video game?
Yeah.
What was that one?
It was like
Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Years back when people...
I have it in my head now.
It was Bond without the Bond characters, essentially.
So the title just sounds so stupid to me.
What's wrong with the title? I don't see anything wrong with the title. Near Dark.
Is it about sunlight hitting people? Yes. The vampires, right?
Uh-huh.
So they have to stay in the dark and they can only get near.
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't it be called Near Light?
But that sounds like crap.
Oh.
I know.
This movie should be called Twilight.
No, after.
Because then everyone would agree with me.
When you say it's garbage. Fair enough. Yeah. This is a very tough. Douglas.
So hold on. So right now we have Douglas on one end and me on the other, and Damien unsure of who to believe. I can't wait until next week to
Douglas,
see what Damien has
Douglas,
to say about this.
You screwed me over on this. I'm going to have issues, Douglas. I'm going to punish you for this. Alright? My pick is coming next.
Okay, oh boy.
This movie's bad.
Just remember, don't punish Andrew.
There's always casualties, Andrew.
And don't act like you're the innocent one here.
I can't promise you.
You have, led us astray on more than one occasion.
Trick or Treat is really awesome.
Is it? I need to watch it. I meant to watch it last night.
I gave you Lady Vengeance.
All I have to say is...
Alright. Well, I guess that's a good enough spot for us to end tonight.
Douglas, I'm giving you one last chance to repent. And tell me that this movie is not awesome.
This movie is so good. It's really good, okay?
Douglas, no.
And I have people on Twitter that have swamped Andrew with replies that agree with me. Okay? Okay.
Douglas, there are video game movies that I'll make you watch.
You see, those are the weeks when I'll come in and I'll be like, sorry, I haven't watched this movie.
Punish all of you.
Anyways, I guess we can end it off there. Yes. This was Andrew.
This was Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Ah.
Because Douglas has been cured.
Cured vampires.
You can find all episodes of the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews.
I'm DJR lost his name on Twitter.
And I'm Damien.
But he's not on Twitter. He just kind of roams around. He, you know,
I don't like
internet.
Don't like social networking. Because the internet is filled with dirty, unwashed people.
So all you use the internet for is porn then?
Pretty much. Those girls are clean.
And they're only dirty when they're supposed to be.
You can find the podcast on the Podcast Alley, iTunes, or our RSS feed. You
the
can
podcast
find
where?
The Podcast Alley.
Ah, fair.
iTunes or our RSS feed. You can leave us a comment on the site, or you can leave us a review in iTunes or the Podcast Alley. Feel free. Send us an email at unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Especially if you want to give us a screener.
We broadcast every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream. You can find the link in my post on gmanreviews.com. Thanks for tuning in and good night. Tanto buscarse, sin encontrarse, me encierra los muros de todas partes. Barcelona, te estás equivocando, no puedes seguir inventando que el mundo sea otra cosa y volar como mariposa. Barcelona, haz un calor que me deja fría por dentro. Con este vicio de vivir mintiendo, qué bonito sería tu mar si supiera yo nadar. Barcelona.